Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now you're most welcome back to the programme. Bobby with you all the way till 1 o'clock today. So for more than a month, President Donald Trump and his administration have been promoting April 2nd as a kind of tariffs end of days event, during which all of his many promised import taxes will go into effect. How costly will this be for Ireland? I'm delighted to be joined now by two of our regular economic contributors to Down to Business to help me make sense of this bold new day. I'd say good morning to Jim Power and indeed to Cormac Lucy. Good morning, gents.
Morning, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
Now, this is such a big issue, I decided I needed two economists rather than one. So, Jim Power, we'll start with you. Next Wednesday, Jim, how fearful do we need to be?
I think we need to be very fearful, to be honest. If you look at the statistics, you know, 32.5 I'm going to throw out a few statistics.
Right, throw them out.
I think it's important to set the context. 32.5% of our merchandise exports last year went to the United States. We have a surplus of 50 billion euro with the United States. Merchandise trade surplus, okay. Trump ignores the service deficit we have with him. The chemical and pharma sector last year accounted for over 65% of our total merchandise exports.
100 billion, that sort of number? 45% of our exports.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And the 65% of our merchandise exports are chemical and pharma, okay? And 40% of those go to the United States.
Okay.
So you can see the extreme.
But the number is huge.
The number is huge. It's absolutely huge. And, you know, the two things that Trump has pointed out many times at this stage, one is Ireland's chemical and pharma sector, and secondly is countries that have a trade surplus with the United States.
Okay.
So we're definitely in the firing line. But the whole focus has obviously been on the chemical and pharma, and you're talking about, you know, huge numbers there. But for the food sector last year, 958 million euro worth of exports. For the beverage sector, 904 million. And for those sectors, they are really big numbers.
Okay. Cormac, just a couple of things. The strategy, and again, no one ever really knows with Trump, but the strategy of hitting Europe, of which we're a part of, is one thing. But is he likely to hit Europe and also go separately after Ireland?
Well, possibly. If he concentrates on the pharmaceutical sector, as he has indicated, that would disproportionately hit us. And, you know, just listening to the figures Jim was listing there, among EU states, we have by far and away the biggest exposure to the United States. So even if he attacks the EU blindly, that's going to have a disproportionate effect on us because of our existing exposure to the States.
Yeah. And if we look backwards, and I know the 12th of March, 25% of the tariff that we've already seen on steel and aluminium. Like, is there anything that we've seen in the last couple of months, tariff-wise, that could give us any anticipation of what we would expect ourselves, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, if the impact this tariff thing is having on the world at the moment is absolutely phenomenal. You know, he's talking about a tariff on copper shortly, and copper prices this week hit the highest level ever achieved. And of course, copper is a major input into many things, including electric car manufacture. So you can see there the impact on every sector that's going to be hit is going to be absolutely dramatic. And what we can see, I could be proved totally wrong, because with Trump, you know, depends on what side of the debate he turns over on. You know, he changed his mind and everything. But the point is that Ireland is in the crosshair. The chemical and pharma sector, as we've discussed, is very much in the crosshair. And, you know, he's going to do his utmost to get some of that economic activity back to the United States. So I think we can be prepared for absolutely anything at this stage, to be
honest. A couple of more things. Cormac, a tariff is levied on those who purchase the items. So let's, like, this is the bit that I really need some assistance on. So if I'm an importer of pharmaceuticals into the US and all of a sudden what I'm bringing in costs 25 or 30% more, the next place I'm going to go is to the person who buys the product off me and increase it by at least that amount. Like, is this, my point here is that could these tariffs, if they do happen, once we see the effect of them, could it be a relatively short-term strategy? I.e., when the basically the US economic situation starts to implode as a result of this, will we see a change of tack?
I think that's quite possible. I think Trump, in the last 2 months since he returned to the White House, he's been acting as if he won 80 or 90% of the votes last November, when in fact he won just around 50%. And the American economy is already showing signs of weakness. If you look at the U.S. stock market over the last 3 weeks, it's getting the jitters. And exporters and consumer-facing companies are especially getting the jitters. So if he puts on a tariff on pharmaceutical imports, Ireland, as the world's major manufacturer of Viagra, that tariff cost is going to be passed on to consumers, and it overall is going to have quite a depressing effect.
Yeah. And do you think we'll have to actually witness that and see that before there'll be a change of heart?
Yes. I think Trump only learns from seeing that his ideas are daft, and trying to persuade him that his ideas are daft clearly isn't working and hasn't worked. And it will have to be genuine fear among his support base and among those members of the House of Representatives. They hold elections every 2 years, so their seats are on the line if Trump's behavior causes a downturn in the American economy, which voters hold against Republican Party representatives.
I see. Okay. Jim, when we look at the fallout of this, where do we go next from here, in your view? What can we do? We seem to be almost powerless.
Well, and I think apart from the whole tariff issue, there is something else I think very fundamental that could hit us as well, and that is, you know, a fundamental reform of the US corporate tax code. And we keep focusing in on Trump and Vance and Hegseth and Musk, but there's two guys, Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, and Scott Bessent, the Secretary of the Treasury. They are really bright guys.
The first guy definitely doesn't like us.
Absolutely not. And, you know, so they will look at the whole US corporate tax system as well. That's something we need to be mindful of. I mean, what can we do about this? Well, we're not doing anything at the moment. I mean, what we've seen since this government came into power in January has been absolutely pathetic. And we saw it again in the Dáil this week. You know, the world is imploding.
Yeah, we need to be focusing on this stuff
rather than 8 minutes of speaking rights. Absolutely. Yeah. And that is really depressing. But what we need to do is we really need to make sure there's two prongs, I think, to this. I think trying to give more opportunity for the indigenous sector of the economy to develop, and alternative energy and food, you know, are areas that we certainly should place a lot more focus of attention on. And the SME sector generally, okay, well, you know my view on that. On the multinational side, you know, we need to make sure that we remain as attractive as possible for multinational companies operating here. The corporate tax advantage is gradually being whittled away, and it's going to be whittled away further. So we need to look at, I mean, what are Ireland's big strategic challenges now? It's energy supply, it's water.
Housing.
It's public.
So sort those problems so the multinationals will be happy to work, continue to stay
here. Well, absolutely. That's what we have to do. And rather than wasting our time in the Dáil fighting over absolutely ridiculous issues, I was going to quote Verona Murphy there, but Meghna Shaw.
No, don't.
But the point is, we really do need to focus in on this. It's too late, but better late than never, I guess.
Cormac, in terms of unraveling the status quo, if we look at, you know, how sort of indelibly infused the multinationals are into our or economics. In other terms of Trump trying to unravel this, it could take time and it could take a while before the effects of this are really seen. Like, we have a bit of time here, do we not?
We have a bit of time, but the danger is we have used the gushing tax inflows from the foreign direct investment sector essentially to hide from economic accountability and economic realism. And we have allowed public sector inefficiency to explode. So we need to, A, get our own domestic house in order. B, as Jim says, we need to boost the bit of the private sector economy that is Irish, the SME and the indigenous sector. And thirdly, the EU has got something it can fire back at America. America, the dollar is the world's global reserve currency. And that means central banks hold dollars to trade in currency markets if they need to support their own currency. And if Europe got together with Britain and the Swiss and the Chinese and said, we'll all sell 20% of our dollars as Trump is giving his speech on tariffs, and let's cause the dollar to drop by 20%.
We're into a proper scrap then if we do that.
But the point is, Trump needs to realise we're not just going to suck this up and take it and not retaliate. We're not without means of retaliation.
I think there's a point here, though. Trump does have a view that he actually doesn't like the reserve currency status of the dollar. He thinks it's bad for the US economy. So he mightn't be...
That's why he's checking to see if the gold is still in Fort Knox and all that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, you heard it here, folks.
His voters would have a fundamentally different view, and they would not like it.
That's true.
If they saw the dollar suddenly, sharply drop in response to something he said.
But in a dictatorship, it doesn't matter what the voters think, does it?
It's not a dictatorship, Jim. It's a democracy. He needs members of Congress to support
All right.
him.
We'll have to leave it there. And we have some fighting words from our economists here on Down to Business. My thanks to Cormac Lucy and indeed to Jim Power. Thanks for joining us today.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.